The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. And it's the right time to thank Matthias Angala with the Twilight. And yeah, it's that time of the morning that we discuss about economic affairs, development, geopolitics, governance, and policies. And wherever you are, we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And yeah, it's the 13th of November, 2025. We are progressing at an understandable pace toward the end of the year. And every morning when you wake up, it's always very important to make sure that, you motivate yourself, because no one can come and save you. Everything is in your hands. That's why life is a standalone project, although you need other people also to move forward. So you need to know that most of the decisions, 80% of your life depends on the decision that you are making. That's why every morning we have a decision. You have a decision either to continue sleeping or to wake up and look for opportunity to continue sleeping, or make sure that you get to work on time to continue sleeping, or to make sure that you come and draft that plan that is going to bring you something in the future. So we are here. We are here until the hour of 8. For now, let us look at IMBA before we go to the conversation.
Great news. IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. As I indicated that life is a to-do alone project. You need to make sure that every morning you are making sure that, you are positive about the future. You are also doing, not only thinking, but take action, because it's always very important to look at, what we have done throughout the year, where are we going, and how are we going to conclude the year. And what is also very important in this regard is how you finalize. As I'm always indicating to say, do not yet say the year is at the end and you did not achieve what you wanted to achieve, because you can still win within extra time. You still have half of the month and one full month, and you can still do it. So let us look at what is happening around the world, what is happening in the continent of Africa, particularly on the issue of governance, politics, and economic affairs. And we are starting with African Union. It was indicated that, the chairperson of African Union Commission has warned that, and also show concern that the continent debt crisis is undermining development, is that African countries are continuing to pay debts. African countries are more focused on servicing their debts instead of looking at developmental affairs. And this was the concern of the chairperson of African Union Commission, especially when he was speaking at G20 Africa High-Level Dialogue on Debt Sustainability, and said that, the continental debts grown about $1.8 trillion, and this represents about 2/3 of continent GDP, and is largely due to high cost of borrowing and limited access to concessional finance. So, and this is part of the discussions that we've been putting forth to say African countries, they are busy They are busy, you know, servicing their debts. And on that rate, it also indicated that there is high borrowing cost, especially when a financial institution or international financial institution come to a developing African country and come with a proposal and also come with an advice to say, this is how you can borrow and this is how you can use money. And the question that we should ask ourselves is that for how long African countries, for how long countries in the world depends on borrowing to develop? Is it part of a genuine plan, or is part of a dependency program that will continue to exist for quite some time? Because I've never seen, or I'm yet to see, an African country which has used international financial institution funds to develop and is now standing on its own, and it can now also make a decision, particularly when it's coming to financial sustainability. Because these are the concern, and it was stated that the chairperson of African Union Commission indicated that, you know, in 2024 alone, debt service payment exceeds $70 billion. And this is consuming an increased share of public revenues and eroding fiscal space. You know, when you want to look at public debts, when you want to look at how African countries are no more concentrating in development, but rather looking at payment of, you know, public debts, you also need to come down and look into Namibia, for example. We just completely, you know, redeemed or paid back Eurobond. In simple terms, we paid back the loan with interest that is around 750, you know, million US dollars, and it's almost equivalent to 13 billion Namibian dollars. And you're also asking yourself to say, what gap did that finance also left in the Namibian pocket? Because paying debts is not an easy thing, and paying debt doesn't mean that you are very happy. It also means that, you know, you have used that money, but have we used that money, you know, effectively to promote our development? And when are we going to get another Eurobond? Is it going to happen or is it not going to happen? Can we really say we can develop with domestic finance? At what level, and how is it going to be done? Or is it just a matter of time that we are going to get another Eurobond? Because when you look at the gap between the first Eurobond and second Eurobond, you'll be able to realize that while we did not even finish paying the first Eurobond, we already borrowed, and we paid them back consecutively. But it's a matter of looking at other African countries. If Namibia is already like this, what about other countries such as Ethiopia, who are busy negotiating to say, no, let us change these commercial loans into concessional loans, that we can extend the period of paying back, and also we can negotiate in terms of interest rates. And you look at that country like Malawi, some of the countries which have been in existence for quite some time. It's operating on donor, it's operating on aid. For you to get money to fund your university, it depends on aid. Government depends on aid. Public sector operation is based on donors and assistance. And the question is always here to say, if foreign investors or foreign donors decided to pull out the plug, how are you going to survive? What are the mechanisms that are there to make sure that African countries are standing on their own? So let us look at this news and move forward, especially regarding African countries' debts, you know, management, or to say African countries continue to undermine their development, particularly by focusing more on paying debts. And it's a concern that is shown by the chairperson of African Union Commission. And let us look at this news.
The chairperson of the African Union Commission has warned that the continent's debt crisis is undermining development. Speaking at a G20 Africa High-Level Dialogue on Debt Sustainability, Mahmoud Ali Youssef said public debt has grown to about $1.8 trillion. This represents about two-thirds of the continent's GDP and is largely due to the high cost of borrowing and limited access to concessional finance. Yusuf said that in 2024 alone, debt service payments exceeded $70 billion, consuming an increasing share of public revenue and eroding fiscal space. He said these pressures highlight the need for urgent collective action to restore debt sustainability and improve Africa's access to capital on fairer terms.
Yeah, that was, the African Union, or the chairperson of African Union Commission, especially showing his concern over public debt crisis. And you are also, tend to ask yourself to say, is it only Africa which is in the mercy of international financial institutions to develop? Is it only money that Africa needs? What is that Africa can do correctly? Do you also have a problem with financial accountability and also financial management within Africa? Because it's not only about money, but it's also about resources that within Africa. Because if you are saying Africa hosts over 30% of minerals in the world, and there is no mineral that you cannot find in Africa, but when it comes to the finance coming from that mineral, the question that you're asking yourself is that who is benefiting from those, from those minerals? And the other thing that you also need to ask yourself is that who own African economy? Are the government of Africa, or you have richer international institutions which are powerful than governments but are operating within countries in Africa? Who own and who is calling the shots? Because it's not correct. It's not correct after 60 years of African trying to position itself. The debt crisis continue to be a concern. And money that you get, you pay them back with high level of interest. And you are not paying like other, countries in the world, because at that point, your interest is different because you are investment risk. But is Africa moving forward, or we are just at the neutral, or we are moving backward? So it's a question that need critical assessment, and it's also a question that need us to reevaluate and look at the way we deal with public finance. You know, people do not like speaking about things. For example, we are busy putting the house in order, then around 800 million is just got lost on investment and more money again. And you are just asking yourself to say, how much money got lost, for example, in Namibia untraced? They just disappeared. Even the investigators, they say, no, this week we are not able to trace that. And who's going to fill that gap of 800 million lost on investment, especially in Namibia? And people think it's not a concern. Who is going to fill that gap if we are already struggling? Look at our budget and look at our midterm budget review. Look at what cutting of cost mechanism are in place, and also look at the way things are being done, the way finance is being managed. Either it's within SOEs, either within public sector. That's why today's conversation, we're going to look at those skill audits, is to say the reason we are losing finance is it because we have a gap in the skills of financial management, or there is other reason that we need to look into that. So that is that will be part of the conversation. However, let us look at Gabon. It was indicated that the wife and son of the former Gabonese President Ali Bongo were found guilty of embezzlement of public funds and were sentenced to 20 years in prison in absentia. That was on Tuesday night, and this was done by special criminal courts in Gabon. And you must be able also to look into this context and also ask to say why Africa and what is happening with African countries. And when you go to the history of Gabon's politics, you'll be able also to realize that when you look at that, is that the Bongo family have been in power for over 55 years, because first it was Omar Bongo, then after his death, his son took over the leadership of Kapona, that is Ali Bongo, until the military coup in 2023, that they also have led to, you know, detention of Ali Bongo, his wife, and his son also, for 20 months before they were released. And that brought the end of Ali Bongo family in Gabon. But what is very interesting is also that when you look closely, the person who overthrew or who became a president after that coup is a cousin of Ali Bongo yet. He's still a cousin of Ali Bongo. Things did not move far from where they have been. Although look different, but he's a cousin. He's a maternal cousin of, you know, Ali Bongo. But the main concern here is how not only those who are in power, but their spouses, and also, you know, their kids who became also part of state capture, and also embezzlement of funds. And when you look at, for example, Sylvia Bongo, and that is the former first lady of Gabon, was found guilty of money laundering, misappropriation of funds, and incitement of forgery. And when you look at Valentine Bongo, you can also be able.
Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, while we are at Gabon, so quite very important to look at this case and also see what need to be learned from here. Because at the end of the day, the news should not just excite you, or you should not be excited by news, especially news related to corruption, and news that is related to extortion. You should ask yourself, what can you learn from here? And what do we need to do right? And also how African leaders need also to learn from others. Because it's always very easy to judge another person, but very difficult also to learn from this side. But let us look at others, what happened, what will happen post, you know, the leadership, and also what need to be done, especially to make sure that there is effectiveness in terms of governance in Africa. And there is absolute focus in human development, especially when we are speaking about human development. Money can move on the top, but if money is not coming on the bottom, if money is not invested in human capital, if money is not invested in infrastructure, useful infrastructure. Because I was watching one video in Namibia where you have houses which are built, but it just become a ghost town, incomplete, and you're asking yourself, when are these houses going to be completed? And you're also asking yourself to say, what is the investment in projects that did not reach their final conclusion? Because, you know, sometimes a project must reach its final conclusion, especially when you want to give basic human rights, such as housing, such as shelter and protection, because it's not correct to see, you know, continuation of suffering of people who were supposed to be taken care of. So while we are there, let us look at a short commercial break, then we can look at a short of snapshot of what happened, particularly with the midterm budget review in South Africa, and also the preparation of G20 summit, and we can go into the conversation for today. But, there's a caller online because we are saying it's a morning conversational program. It's a program that we conversate and we bring ideas and views on the table so that we can teach each other. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning, man. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm well.
Is it Eagle FM?
Yes, it's Eagle FM.
Okay.
Mm.
We are unable to get you here from Katima.
When was the last time that you listened from us?
It's been maybe, if I'm not mistaken, 2023.
Yes. Okay. But we have an app there. Are you aware of Eagle FM app?
Yes, but we used to listen to we used to listen to you from the radio.
Uh huh.
Yes, yeah, because we are we are in the deep rural.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yes.
No, that is noted, but for now, in the regions where we are not connected to the frequency, is that we are using an app for now, but your concern is noted, well noted.
Okay, because we used to listen, we used to catch you on 93.1.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, well noted.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a good day.
Okay, you too. Who are we speaking to?
Androvia.
Oh, okay, thank you, Androvia.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And to our dear listeners, if you are not able to catch us, you can catch us online. You can also catch us via an app. You can download the GLFM app in your phone, and you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air, and also the previous programs. And it's always very good. It's always very good, especially when you have that who can come and look for you. Even if he did not listen from you or for over 2 years, he can still come and also look at what is that on the table that you can catch us. It's not only that listen to us online, you can also get time, then you can connect with us. And on top of that, we also have the Villager newspaper that you can get into by liking and sharing our page, so we can be connected and be updated, particularly on what's happening on affairs of governance, economics, and also issues of development. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can continue the conversation.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM,
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And looking at South Africa, yesterday South Africa had, a midterm budget review. And one of the things that we should take out from there is that it was indicated that the National Treasury initiative has identified 6.7 billion in savings by closing down or scaling down underperforming and wasteful government programs. Because in this economy, every government is economizing. It's not only Namibia who is cutting costs. It's not only Namibia who is redirecting the money, but also in South Africa that, National Treasury Initiative has identified 6.7 billion rands in savings, or they saved money by, scaling down underperforming wasteful government programs. If the program is wasting money, if the program is not productive, why can't you scale it down? Why can't you shut it down? Then you focus on programs which are making money. Have you ever looked at some of the projects which end up being white elephant projects? Why do you start something that you cannot complete? Why do you start a structure you cannot complete? Why do you build houses for 10 years that are not yet occupied, for example, instead of focusing on other things? Because a delayed project can also be troublesome, particularly when it's coming to addressing the immediate needs. But what South Africa have done, and what South Africa continue to do, is cutting of cost. Because in this economy, not only Namibia, but countries are cutting cost. The global challenges have impacted the way Africans are doing business. The global challenges have also, formed about new global realignment, particularly in terms of economic interest. Because on top of that, when you look at, for example, what Enoch Godongwana has indicated is that, like what's happening or like what has been presented in Namibia to say, before every budget presentation, there is always an aspect of global changes. There is always an aspect of realignment. There is always an aspect of imposition of, tariffs, particularly this year's when global, trade have been affected by U.S. Tariffs, and also when there are new economic partners and there are new emerging economic bodies such as BRICS and many other international institutional multilateral institutions. Yeah, on top of that, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has indicated that no, when commenting on United States not attending G20, Cyril Ramaphosa stated that U.S. keeping G20 leader summit is their loss. Is their loss because, Cyril Ramaphosa being known as one of the most diplomatic person. And coming to that point, because sometimes if you are pushing here, we are pushing this direction and people do not want to cooperate, you come to the point of saying, no man, I think I should not continue begging people anymore. Although US is a very, still a strong economy, still have strong influence. But what Ramaphosa have said is that no, you know, G20 summit will continue with or without the US, and it's not the loss of South Africa, it's the loss of the US, but it's also something that you know, we need to look at, because surprisingly, it's also interesting to see, because when you look, for example, in South Africa now, because it's a lesson to be learned, especially when it's come to resilience. Sometimes you think depending on somebody will be a forever journey, or will be a forever program. But when you look, for example, after imposition of 30% tariffs to South Africa, after the end of AGOA, South Africa continues to grow, although it's growing slightly in terms of its economy. It has managed also to turn around its economic strategies by refocusing on other regions in terms of trade. Because when you look, for example, at like the South African Statistic Agency or Statistic Body, or South African Stats, which has indicated that when it's coming to unemployment, there have been a decline in terms of unemployment, and they are aiming, targeting to be below, 30%. You're also asking yourself to say, Namibia, where are we? Where are we where other kids are moving forward? Where other kids are dealing with their challenges and problems? What are we doing better? And what do we need to learn from this? So let us look at a short commercial break, then we can move forward. Yeah, from there, we are moving toward the main conversation for today, especially when we are going to speak about, skill audit. We are going to speak about, skill audit. And, maybe some will also be able also to ask to say, when you speak about skill audit, what do you mean by that, and what is the necessity of that, especially in the Namibian context? In simple definition, skill audit is just an assessment of looking at the gaps in the skills, either among employees, among political leaders, and also to identify what is needed for you to accomplish a certain project. So developed countries have been continuously doing skill audit, particularly when it's coming to emerging industries, particularly when it's coming to reaching of national developmental priorities, and look and ask questions to say, do I have a right team to achieve NDP6, for example? Do I have a right team to promote food security in Namibia? Do I have a right team to make sure that these green schemes in Namibia can perform to the full capacity so that Namibians can be self-sustaining in terms of food production? And you cannot only do that by looking at the qualifications or by looking at the working force that you have. You can do that by conducting an assessment. And when you conduct an assessment, you are looking at, you have objectives of saying, for example, when you speak about food security, how many food scientists do you have? How many technical experts that you have so that they can be in the chain of agro-processing? how many machines, operators that we have? What are the skills of servicing these machines in an agricultural sector? At what level? Because you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked of the outcome of skills audit. And what is very interesting about skills audit is that it's not a matter of eliminating people or identifying negativeness or identifying just weakness in people. It's also identifying strength to see in terms of skill auditing, what strength do I have in this area? What strengths does that institution has? Is it the project management? Is it communication? Is it stakeholders engagement? Is it, is it planning? Is it finance? And all those things. And what are the gaps which are there? Because you can only be able to solve a problem of non-deliverance in terms of projects. You can only be able to solve the problems of non-deliverance in terms of the project by looking at skill audits. Now, it's stated that skill audit is evaluating of institutional skills, knowledge, and identify of strength and weakness. Now, our conversation for today, especially at this juncture, is motivated by the 2023 skill audit report, which was done in the province of KZN in South Africa. And we also want to scale it down to Namibia to say, let us do a skill audit, for example, in any region that you can pick in Namibia. There is a regional council, start from the governor. Do you have the right governor with capacity and vision? Does that governor understand economic affairs? Does he understand strategic leadership? Does he understand or does he have a necessary skill to drive a region of that economy? Does he have necessary skill to drive a region? What region is that governor leading? Then you come to CRO. Then you come to accountants. Then you come to, officials. You come to counselors. Then you look at the skills which they have. Because what is very interesting is that, that report brought a lot of debate in South African politics. That skill audit report, which stated that the skill audit reveals that 300 KZN counselors are illiterate. And you will be shocked. You'll be shocked. That is the report of the skill audit. Because a person is only there because of political power. But is this person able to stop, underground deals within the office? Or a person is just signing? Does a person understand or is scared of showing his or her weakness in terms of skill gap? And what is the impact of that skill gap to an ordinary person? Because the moment you understand the impact of skill gap to an ordinary person, we are not saying everybody should be a professor to lead a region, to lead a constituency, to lead an institution. We are not saying that. But we are saying people must be skilled. Even training is not only about qualification, even training and upskilling. To say, how do you understand matters? And the other time, somebody called and we were speaking about, imagine somebody who is in parliament, for example, who just went there because you don't need any qualification to go to parliament. You don't need any qualification. There are no qualifications. You just need to be affiliated to a certain political party. Then anybody can go there. But imagine you are dealing with national issues. You are making laws. And making laws is not an easy business. And making laws, you are not only making laws for yourself, you are making laws for the whole nation. And imagine if you have played it very smart to that extent that you do not want to show people that there are certain weaknesses that you have. Do you know how dangerous that is going to be to the Namibian development? Do you know how dangerous that is going to be to the Namibian economy? Do you know how dangerous that is going to be, to an ordinary person, to the informal economy? You know, the reason, for example, you'll be shocked. The reason some projects are not complete, could it be because some people still do not have skills? Could it be because some people do not have skills of project tracking, evaluating? Could it be that case? Could it be that some people, could it be that some money which are getting lost, people are not understanding what is happening, are being played, and they want to show that they were played? So, those are the conversations that we are looking at today. And we want to expand that conversation to say, developing countries should and must make sure that they invest in skill auditing. Because when you invest in skill auditing, it's easier. It's easier. Because conducting a test is the best thing. Because when you have data, they don't say no. I'm going to give David 90%. If I'm not good at something, I will just get 40% or 30 or 20. And I will understand that there is something that I need to do here. See, skill audit does not have emotions. They deal with data. If you are bad with finance, somebody can work that. If you are bad with project management, somebody can come and assist. But imagine 300 counselors, illiterate. How do you expect a certain municipality to function if those who are leading those institutions do not have right skills? Sometimes skill audit can also come when you may have a qualification. You may have a master's degree, for example, in a certain subject, but you have obtained that master's degree in 2003. But the curriculum have been changing all those years. We speak about AI now. We speak about, e-financing, for example. We speak about new systems, new computers, new softwares. We speak about new ways of doing things. And if you are not continue upgrading yourself, skill audit will be able to identify that, that skill. Have you ever went to a public sector? Have you ever went to a government office? And you meet somebody that you start questioning the capability of this person. Not really because you undermine the intelligence of the person, but you are just also asking or questioning the competence of the person. You are also questioning the, not really to say the articulation, but just the way the person is communicating, the way the person is doing things, lack of understanding of how the ministry that is working on is working. And also lack of certain skills within the area that that person is working. Have you ever went to a situation like that? Have you ever went to his public, private sector, his NGO? Have you ever questioned the character of somebody? Not really because you hate a person, just because what you expect in terms of the skills within a certain area, a person is not giving. What is the difficulty? What is the challenge of the gap within certain skill? Let me say, the gap is effectiveness and deliverance. Just effectiveness and efficiency within a public institution. Then you're asking, what caused that gap? Is it really because people do not understand? Is it really because a person is still struggling to reply to an email? You may think it's a joke. There are still people who are not able to send emails. Is it because a person takes time to comprehend, understand, and interpret a certain document or a certain letter that is sent to his office? That's why sometimes what people do not understand, they just delay. Have you ever wrote to a certain ministry that you did not get any feedback after even 2 years? And you are wondering yourself, where is my paper that I wrote here? Where is my document? So, and skill audit should not only happen, should happen to politicians, should happen to private secretary, PAs. Everybody should go through skill audit to say, do you have certain skills to perform that duty? If you do not have, you are not going to be fired. You are going to be assisted so that things start moving fast. If you are a driver, for example, you still need certain skills so that things will move faster. If you are a receptionist, you still need certain skills that things will move fast. What level of skill audit do we have in Namibia? So,
good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, how's it?
Joseph.
Yeah, I'm well.
No, a skill gap. It's fine.
Yeah.
Now you ask how you start on top of the film.
Yeah.
When you could have already started. Because we could have, by this time, assessing the impact. We were supposed to be at the level of impact assessment. Because the thing is, look, we have a system.
Yeah.
Which is not like proper standard. If proper standard are there, we overlook the standard. Because there's no way to say that you are going to, it's okay. Because we start on top. But because the system which you put, it already have standard.
Yeah.
In terms of the position in government and everywhere.
Yeah.
There are standards and job certification there and what you need to do. The problem is when now, and you are supposed only to assess the impact. You say no. When we recruit these people, have these people really have an impact? Have this education that we put in terms of qualification, service experience and skill, have they made an impact?
Hold on.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um deine noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat. Oder spare noch mehr mit unseren speziellen Abonnementplänen. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Estira Shisho, pagi tadi kukwathere opovoro kara uastira ya kweni ochisho. Patuchi itana basic mental health first aid course. Taiganjua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo unonseo na kene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugopetameko ugena cha nupiakadhi nenge omafidakano opama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe. Osho otopewa unongo ukene una okwea kwa thena nukwea pa ea bidhido yiri mwonjira. Omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara. Kuyerere ounji na hene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na. Pangono maradura sano ododhina okuradurwa. NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP,
we're
about you.
Yeah, standard.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
It's abnormal to say they want to conduct a skill audit. For instance, in government, when standard, instead of assessing the impact of what you have.
But are the needs of skills, do they not change after 5 years, for example, due to new development and technology?
Because what you are assessing is an impact. You have to do an impact assessment to say, look, at the political level, democracy-wise, we elected leaders.
Yeah.
There are no qualifications. You don't need the qualifications. Now you want to say now, to assess the impact now of that leadership. So that now you will see, is it qualification? Because remember, you need to think very deep here.
Yeah.
There is qualification and the experience and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Qualification does not automatically qualify to experience.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Such a thing. That's why you find a person with qualifications, but there is no experience.
Mm. But for that person, okay, continue.
But I have said it. Mm. I have said it. Look, qualifications is like a person have a license and you bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to drive, you bought a car.
Yeah.
It's not that much risk. Ne? You understand?
Yeah.
But the risk starts when you bought a Mercedes-Benz car, you don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
You get somebody to drive the car. But sometimes you also attempt to learn how to drive on the Mercedes-Benz. Where they go?
Yeah.
What if that is your last money?
Yeah.
These are the issues. But we are saying, the course is good because we start at the wrong page. Because the system already itself was have standards. That's why when you said, look, design a threshold standard, public safety net, I always use that word. So why?
Yeah.
Because you said, if we have to talk about, for instance, an agriculture, we're supposed to have these people like this.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be A, B, C, D. For you, just to make sure, Kucha, these people, because you have to see whether the system really have recruited the people, you understand?
Yeah.
That we required.
Okay, I have a question for you. Why do, for example, in a public sector, You people are recruited based on qualification and also experience. Why do you think it's very difficult for these people to deliver? Could it be that there are certain skills that were required, particularly when it's coming to changes? It can be changes in terms of machine, even time.
I understand, but with the public service, you need to understand that most of the public, did you find that you have artisans? Most of the people, in public, they are not doing work that they are supposed to work because the work have to be outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
For them, they are just pushing papers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you have an artisan, electricity artisan, what, but when the barber broken in the what, you have to go to tendering system. And when you have the fleet of the ministry, you have mechanic, even at the government garage.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to put to take this cars to be fixed at what? At the private what?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said that there are misplacement here of things.
Mm-hmm.
You see that, for instance, if you have a person who working at the officer issuing a death certificate, for instance, or death, why you need somebody with a bachelor's degree to do this?
But you need somebody who can read and write, right?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You don't need the person of the bachelor to issue birth certificate.
Yeah.
You don't need the person who did how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you to give a birth certificate, the condition put there, the requirement that.
Yeah.
Or whether you have it, or full birth certificate of your parent and what and like that. For the child, you have to say whether the child is the father and what and all those things.
Yeah.
Because the system, it does not require you to think.
Yeah.
Can't you see now that you have sit on the brain of the person who even have a bachelor?
No.
Because that work does not require you to think.
Mm.
And that is the problem now in the public service, because you have people qualified, but the work that they are doing, it's misplacement.
Mm-hmm. That also slow them down in terms of what is needed from them.
For instance, Ngurumbe.
Yeah.
The argument that I have. There was a time that apparently they should be supposed to a famous management system that need to be created.
What?
For performance management system.
Oh yeah.
Now they have to bring in, even for the government, they have to bring in apparently private consultants, even Nipperman, what to come design. But we are saying, when you see in those industries, They are directors with masters and degree and PhD and what.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think these people have no capacity? But only because they are not given the responsibility to do it. Because, and I have asked uh-huh. to uh-huh. tell you,
uh-huh.
we all sit in the same class.
Yeah.
The difference is that you guys went to private as we go in public. But what makes you think you are smarter than us? Some of you, we were very smarter than you. But now when you come this time, yeah. you wanted to say, you have, but you,
yeah.
you have or responsibility,
yeah.
the work has to be outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah, so you.
Outsourced. These are the problems. It's not that like when you do a scholarship, for instance, nowadays when you go in public service, my dear,
yeah.
people with qualification are there, but you're still going to find a person with a master degree
mm-hmm.
as a clerk.
Hmm.
You see, as a clerk.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Now, that's why I said, a person at a master degree level, this is a police person.
Yeah.
So, these are the issues. But when you go also to like, for instance, I have seen it even at the university.
Yeah.
There's not really a specific course, man.
Yeah.
Field of study, what deal only with public policy as a course. From diploma up to degree, what degree, and to what? Why? Because there's no field of study without policy.
It's one I wanted to say, policy is everything.
Yeah. Because wherever you are going to go, you are going to deal with
policy.
You need a field of study like of a policy. You also need a module for each. For each course. If you study, for instance, agriculture, you are going to develop policy about agriculture.
And you understand them well. Okay.
So now we are saying, if you are not now taught to this public policy thing, that's why Mwavuruku Mwononputazimu Skora, Ndeke Shakucha, how policy have been made. Unless apparently he studied public management when he started being taught how policy, when you study those things like politics.
Now I want to ask, for example, you gave your argument based on that, especially when you speak about public sector. I want your view, especially when it's coming to local and regional authority, politicians, particularly councillors. Don't you think it's right, especially the new one, to come and conduct a skill audit, basic understanding of governance policies as you are talking about planning, because with the politics of regional and local authority councillors, there's also no need of qualification. You don't need to go to an interview. You come from nowhere, then you sit in the city council. Don't you think it's right for somebody or even a consultant to come and conduct a skill audit about these people and also give them additional training, not only induction?
That's what I said. You know, when these people it's very needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because skill audit in terms of, because we start on top.
Yeah.
You need to, and this is the mistake always done by the councillors, and even CEOs and other people who are coming in. You come in the institution, not only skill audit, you don't do an audit for everything. For you to understand what is going on. You just come in the office, you start signing and what. But we know the ministries always give them induction. But this type of induction, if it is important, now you need to understand. To me, it's not an issue. But buy from the person, like when he was never in a normal office, when he was in formal classes, at the university level, because that's where the challenge is. Or when he was not, it's not a readable person, because academic literature, they need understanding. Because you can read, they wrote from a certain concept, because you must relate immediately when you are reading. So now you find Ucha, you are training this person. They are for induction. Only you are free in a normal class, but it's a situation. The person never listened.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to get it because the level of understanding is the same. Because the person who is giving a training, Nando, professor, doctor, or lawyer, what is, speak lost.
Cannot bring himself down to simplify everything. Yeah.
So, but we are saying we just need, even the parties also, they supposed to train their own people to understand
this. Because I brought this topic because this thing have an impact of everybody who is on the ground, because you expect the bread to come at the end of the day, but there is somebody who is blocking you there who was supposed to be assisted.
Tara, when I give the example of a lady who was a cleaner and became a mayor, and he asked the budget for the budget room.
With the budget room,
You think it's a joke?
Yeah, it's true.
It's not a joke.
Yeah.
No, my friend, you take even for a city of Windhoek. That is the not only capital city of the country, but that's the economic center of the country.
Yeah.
You need capacity there.
You can't put anybody.
You cannot just put anybody capacity, because you need also to understand the concept of local authority councillors. Because it's a pattern. Because you need a corporate experience.
Because we're also dealing with other cities, because it's not only you. We also deal with international affairs from other cities.
I would ask you, you become a board of director without any, just like that?
No, it's not possible.
Because the local authority councillors, they are like a board of directors.
Hold on.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
As we head to the polls on 26 November 2025 to elect our representatives as regional and local authority councillors, you have to be present to be represented. Your voice can only count if you put it in the ballot box. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Yes, 4 minutes. Let's wrap up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. When you see City of Windhoek, I said, look, do you see that the City of Windhoek have two faces?
Yeah.
The first was those years before, when you have a racist black and white. It was a racial thing.
Yeah.
Now, the issue of city informal and city formal. The reason why you have city informal and city formal is going to add water.
It's lack of implementation of developmental plans. Yeah, it's a leadership.
Because you need leaders who understand. Not only at the local authority level, even at the national level. Because we are saying, look, City of Windhoek is not, it's a city, it's a capital city of the country. Number one. Number two, this is the face of the country. So, city has been always seen as the cleanest city, like that. But now this have to disappear because people are neglecting that fundamental element. Now, because of the economic center of the country, everybody is coming for opportunity to City of Windhoek. Now, every day you are receiving even, 2,000 people coming in every day.
Every day. And there are also those who are being born every day.
And there are also, but we are saying,
Yeah.
Can't you see that Where are we? Because that's what I said the other time. I said, look, we need the funding model here to be redefined proper from central point of view.
Yeah.
Government point of view. Why? Because there is this in the issue of infrastructure development. When these people come in, they want service land, they want the housing, they all these things. But let's sit of them look, have a budget also that that is still the daily operation proper.
Yeah.
But sometimes on the infrastructure development, my friend, those facility, recreational parks and roads and what service land. Then the central government has to step in. Otherwise, we are not going to have the whole city.
No, you are correct. You are correct.
At the end of the day, you find 50% of the people are living in the city now.
I was looking at the average price of a house. They are saying a proper house, basic, it's 1.4. That is an average now if you are doing the calculation. Then you're asking yourself to say, in terms of where we are, how are we going to deal with that?
That's why for me, look, when you have a system, it's like take a car, for instance.
Mm.
The car have already designed Kucha, you know, Gerakamano, this is what you need to do to go ahead and what you have to do like that.
Mm.
Believe we have extra knowledge, it will never go beyond that. The speed is this, even it will never go beyond.
Yeah.
Why? Now, when we have the system like that, then we put in people to do. There will be no ihapukarini mambia or monitoring and evaluation on terms of the processes and the laws.
Yeah.
See whether the implementation was done exactly according to the, we call it administration by law.
But I have a question. Why are people not held accountable, especially when it comes to unfinished projects? You know, you find the person is given a project of, for example, housing, then you find like a ghost town somewhere. Why people are not held accountable for that?
It's what I see. Even if the mechanism is there, it's issue because the government have more power than the state. Because these are just comrades giving each other. That's why we say that. The state is the reference. Social aid, the state was supposed to have any capacity. Ne?
I hear you.
To remove you. Ne?
Yeah.
To remove you.
Yeah.
To say, look, my dear, that's why you have the central intelligence. What? Because these people need to have capacity almost in everything.
They're supposed to protect the economy also.
Those investigations, you know, look at the investigation behind closed doors to find out how this institution is operating.
Because they are saying in America they focus more on economic intelligence because the world is no more about like direct physical war and yes, threats are there, but economic intelligence is very important.
These are the issues that you need to look at. That's why you said and sometimes also we haven't got to. It's a good sign. It's a step in the right direction. That's why you see ever since this country was created, maybe from 1990 there was no a single leader who had come up and tried to pay a single coin of the shilling. And we have raised it this many times. But you know now, even if the current president has made that little step.
It's a commitment. I hear you.
Even if people like they are trying to make it as a big thing, but really, that one, my friend, is just a cup. It's just a copy. It's a cup of. But people, they are trending it, but it's a step in the right direction because it needs to be done. That's why you see, even to the city there. That's why even in those political manifestations, you have received to say, look, at the government level to say, look, I'm going to reduce the debt to this.
It's not part of the conversation.
Not part of the conversation. That's why I said. Then I have analyzed only two things that I never seen in any performance management or strategic plan. Of course, organization, even in the manifesto. But why? Number one is the issue of the debt at the national level. Number two, even of the government. Number two is management by administration. You see, management administration to say, look, you have to manage according to the administration. What is administration is a law, a legal framework which is there. So when you do performance assessment, you have to see whether the work was done according to the rules.
If not, what need to be followed after that?
You see, so that you can and the impact also.
Okay. Because
you have to do or the impact assessment also. Monitoring the operations, you see whether things were done according to the rules.
Then the impact.
Because and the impact. Because if you are not assessing these things, you are not going to see whether you are making an impact or not. You are not, because the law, if things could be done according to the rules, there would be no problems there. Because there are two things here, and also two leaders, so you need to have processes and the result.
The outcome.
There are people who worry about, because the law says you about the processes. But sometimes,
we ignore the results.
There are research oriented. Some people don't care about the rule, law. They just want things to be done.
I want it next year, here or next tomorrow. Year.
That's why you in most of the say you see political statement that it made. No, there is this amount of money that we issue. Then it has to be done to do what ABC did. But people forget that in the process there, there is a procurement policy.
Yeah, there is a law which is being.
You cannot have this. No, I put 100 million. Yeah. Then I want this to be done within 6 months.
So,
some of the issues now you have to go to the processes in terms of tendering system and what and like that, and the feasibility study and
all those. And assessment and all this. Now
you are blaming people to say, look, we give you 100 million, we implement this within certain period, but you fail.
Okay.
But you are not explaining to the people to say, look,
let's give an opportunity to other. You can still come back. Ne?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. It's 25 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And, you know, there was an example given to say, when the lady was a cleaner somewhere, then through the political, you know, process, she became a mayor. Then, you know, the first question she asks is, where is the budget room? That's why we are saying today, we are speaking about skill audit. And also to say, not really to say we are against those who do not have qualification. That's not what we are saying. We have good leaders there without qualifications, but they have experience and they are also trained. But if you have somebody who is unwilling to show his or her weakness, then those who suffer are the majority of the people who expect services, who expect housing, who expect food. And that is the problem that we have. That's why when you look, go and read the report of KZN or KwaZulu-Natal, you look at around 300, you know, councillors who are not able, who are illiterate. You look at challenges and the main problem is the challenges of that, especially when it's coming to financial management and also resource management. Then one of the things which was stated by the caller is the aspect of the impact assessment to see, let us be result oriented to say what was the impact of this project. So let us look at the caller and move on. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Shombe.
Morning, uncle. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Wonderful. So I love the way you are conducting some research there. Very, very, very informative, educative. And I think it's part of those programs that we as student or individual people need to join in terms of at least translating some of those lessons into tangible action. Because, for example, now you are asking a very important question and you came with a very significant topic of skill gaps.
Yeah.
and how do we fill in those gaps?
Yeah.
Because they need to be filled.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we continue having deficiencies in the system, ineffectiveness, and all these things. Men are getting lost. All this project that actually to have, you know, contributed significantly in terms of employment, in terms of revenue generation for the state, government, and all these other people. So now this skill and mentorship things that you are talking about is very, very crucial. Now that we have audited the skills in terms of this governance structure, these councillors and all these other things, the same should also apply to all other cross-cutting sectors.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I said it's public and private, everyone.
You see everyone.
Yeah.
So, and people are saying, I don't know, maybe it's a politics. And this politics sometimes is actually disturbing the entrepreneur spirit. Even that kind of eagerness, that conviction that really some of these young ones have is being hindered by a lot of, you know, these self-talks. I don't know whether it's self-talk or whatever, I don't know. So that you cannot do anything. So after your graduation from the University of Namibia, whether you went to the private or public or wherever you go, you might have acquired your weapon. And there are also some skills, some informal, some skills that we have acquired through informal education system. So I understand that there are many, many, many people who have actually succeeded in life, in business, and things like that, maybe through mentorship, skill upgrading, and like you're saying, all those areas, we seriously need to get in there. Of course, like you said, it's beyond the orientation.
Yeah.
When you are oriented, and it's also beyond access to finance. I was just looking at some of the news on NBC, where people are hosting you some kind of market access and trade opportunity kind of programs.
Yeah.
These are things that, yes, if you have got a business register, we were talking about these things and how you came in, your article about informal economic sectors to be informalized. I think
you read it. You read it.
You think we are joking? When you are listening to me, you think we are just listening not to learn.
You must continue to tell people to read the Villager newspaper, because that is where we get the content and argument from, because we don't just speak, we also write about it, and you can also go and verify the data to say, man, what this guy is speaking is really true. Because sometimes you are at an event where things are being done. That's why we present it that way. Yeah.
So let me speak in English, because otherwise I know we need to promote our native language and our concept.
But our native language, I told Mundana Dingi. They are Mundana Dingi.
If we cannot explain some of those development concepts, whether it's registration, I know you guys, you are now used to this writing and these things in your language. And these things are giving us problems. I have to be cramming all these words, Nigeria, and all these things that you are learning and these things. Yeah. But you have to strategically position to ensure that, yes, this kind of skills, there are programs there. You must also understand, just like yourself.
Like what Mr. Kwede have said, especially regarding the impact assessment. What do you think about that?
Yes, I understand the impact assessment is many a times is done.
especially but the results, because if you are, let me say, let's give for hypothetical sake to say you are certain, yeah. Connected person, because you know, you are let me say you are a tenderpreneur. And most of the
let me
make my statement. Let me say you are a tenderpreneur, and we understand that most of the tenderpreneur, they use political connection, although they don't want it to be spoken about. Then you get a project to work on something. For let me say housing. Then you delivered 200 houses, but these houses, they are incomplete, for example. Yeah. I paid you all the money, you gave me the budget and all the money, then we are done. How should I hold you accountable if you did not complete that? And have we ever seen
the mechanism, sorry to cut you, the mechanism, my brothers, the procedures, I know this tenderpreneur, is that what it means now? Is this tenderpreneurs, we have experienced them. They were here constructing all these things and all these things that you can see there around. But they were chopping money. But now to hold them accountable, so it's very important also to hold them accountable individually. If, for example, you know the rules, the laws, the unethical conduct.
Yeah.
These are some of the things. I understand about ignorance. Sometimes you don't know if your counselor is any great, this and that. Sometimes they can also be helped to be empowered. And it's not only about, I'm just saying that they have got a budget. And for you to have access to a budget, it's not a law, it's not enough, because you also need to be incapacitated with the skill, how the budget is run, this governance, ethics and values, and you need to, you know, adhere to some of these things that you say. Oh, accountability is there. This, I think, when we look at some of these pronouncements, these directions or whatever policies, for example, Harambe, so also talking about corporate good corporate governance. If somebody is not
operating, have we ever stood on that principle of good corporate governance?
Yeah, maybe some of the
no. Just Namibia. Let's say. The late Genko drew up a very beautiful plan of Harambe 1 and 2. Then governance is part of the pillars. Now, where we are now, have we ever stood with those principles of good governance? Because he made it a priority to say, first you need good governance before you deliver other things.
They even asked to provide their CV and all these things to present their interest. What is it? Their property and all these things to declare their interest.
But how many of them did that? Not even 50%.
There are few who did not do that. I don't know the statistics.
I don't want to end there, but okay.
So in the skill upgrading and all these things, I know that they are also the youth, the young ones, especially though, because of this green hydrogen that came, there are a lot of skill upgrading. Even if you go to UNAM there, they are doing that. I'm also not so aware that they are also incorporating some of these paralegal programs, because these are not there for you, the program that you are doing. But this one is a paralegal. For the community people, when they get in there, because it's a bottom-up approach. If you do not equip those counselors with this kind of skill, knowledge, they will keep on doing some mistakes, because they are, of course, they are convinced and they are eager. So they are motivated to serve their people, and they are also coming from these different political structures.
Yeah.
So, and I believe that they might have this leadership skill,
but that is not enough. Yeah,
even
like a short course, a certificate in legal studies. At least the person has some things that can allow him, because some leaders we can debate about leaders are made or born, but there are people who have natural characteristics of a leader. But you don't need the high level education, but you need to understand and capacitate it. Just in that, when you get there, even with your grade 10 or grade 8, but you understand issues, at least let that gap of skills be filled. And just to say, man, I understand leadership. I understand how things are being done, but I have a problem with finance, for example. What can I do? Just come out. What can I do to understand budgeting, to understand assessment of financial trends, and also to predict what should I need to serve my people? Just those things.
Come up with those, register your company, become consultants. And many a time people think that the Namibians are not there who are well invented with skills, knowledge in registration and things like that. But just like when you finish your LLB, you go for the other training for you to become a lawyer.
JTC.
So now, when you get your Bachelor of Education from accounting, I used to tell my children like that.
Yeah.
So you make sure that this political connected and things like that. How many politicians do we have there then for the all masters to be connected to politicians anyway? Like me, I don't really know the politician. I see them on the TV. I see the thing.
Were you not in the trenches with them?
Me, I was at the battlefront. They're not my friends.
No, I don't want to expose you, but it's fine. Let's wrap up.
No, I think I'm done. All we are saying is that let's create entry points.
Yeah.
The hanging fruits.
Yeah.
Our counselors. There are a lot of programs that have developed.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to gender.
Yeah.
So you see them, we always have a session for parliamentarians and things like that. And we are telling them these things are cross-cutting issues.
Yeah.
Gender is a cross-cutting issue.
Mm.
If it is in agriculture, it's everywhere. It's also in the judicial, everywhere.
Mm.
So all of us need to make sure that we take part of it, identify those skill gaps, and also to answer your question, how do we then see those gaps?
Okay.
So I think I'm done, my brother.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. And, you know, Uncle has indicated that when we write about something, he has to make sure that he read and also look at the data. But the issue of skill auditing, and we must be very clear, especially when it comes to understanding of issues, especially when it comes to, you know, knowledge, skills, and qualification. One of the things should be made clear. We are not saying everybody should have a high level of qualification, but people must be literate and have a deep understanding of issues, especially when you're in a position of influence and a position of leadership. Because one of the things that you need to look at is that we are not saying when you do not understand English, you are not intelligent. You can be very intelligent, but it's going to be very difficult for you to move in a society where most of the documents are written in English. Unless you have 20 advisors, but it's not possible. Some decision, they need a quick leadership decision. So that is where we are going to look at. So if somebody have identified a gap, be willing to volunteer yourself, or you are the first person to say you don't understand issues, because the reason things are not getting through is because there are people who are blocking the system. Not necessarily because what they want, just because they are not able to be given an opportunity to be upskilled, or they are not coming out, or there is no skill audit was conducted. And there's a certain issue of for example, cyber security is a pertinent issue. It's a threat in Namibia financial system. It's a threat to Namibian government and everybody. And we must accept the fact that we do not have skill in that. And that is the only way that we must also understand that we need to invest more in cyber security and issue of cyber, understanding cyber crime and everything related to cyber. Because if we do not understand those things, then we are still going to lose more. And in the current situation, even with private financial institution or with financial institute or commercial banks, I think they are a bit ahead. But other than that, we still do not have a solution for it. We still do not have lawyers who understand how to deal with cyber. How do you defend a cyber criminal? Or how do you interrogate a cyber criminal? These are still new concepts that need to come up. That's why there's always an aspect of skill gap, because the director of IT in 2015 does not need more skills compared to a director of IT in 2025. The head of the director of HR in 2015 is completely, although job description may look the same, there is need additional skills in that sector when you speak about 2025, because a lot of things have changed. System have changed. Some of the programs are computerized. Some of the things that you were supposed to do within a week, you can do them within hours. And those are the things that we need to do. Even the driver in 2015 is not the same, does not need the same skill for the driver in 2025. Things have changed. New systems, new cars. We have now the EVs and many others. That's why bringing about skill audit does not only mean you have to look at those who do not have qualifications, but you also look at where you are strong at. What is your strength? What is your weakness? Where do you need assistance? Because imagine, just for argument's sake, somebody who, you run a city. Let's give an example, city of Windhoek. Through the politics, just somebody from grade 5. Happen to become a counselor. By political support, this person can become a mayor of a city. And this person has to represent you when cities is forming city partnership and also developmental partnership with other cities and also other institutions. How embarrassed are you going to be? Because that can happen. It doesn't mean that it will not. That can happen. There's a possibility of that to happen even in the future, because we do not have mechanisms in place to make sure that the best among ourselves can lead, and those who are not the best among ourselves can also lead, but can be advised and upgraded. And people must get me very clearly. We are not saying. All the people who do not have diplomas and degrees should not lead. We are not saying that. But we are saying people must be assisted to make clear, strategic, and result-oriented decisions. And that is the only way that we are going to move forward as a country. Because, with KZN, they start with a new program now of upgrading. Because they realized that most of the finance that they were losing, people were just signing. They do not even understand what they were signing, because people cannot read through documents. Just sign here and sign here because you have executive power, but you do not know how things are going. And this is so painful for somebody who has a good heart and want to develop his constituency or want to develop his town or his village council. But this person does not understand how things are being done and end up signing things which are not in line with, you know, what he wants. Not really because a person wanted to do that. It's just because the person does not understand. So now the question that we need to ask ourselves is that where are we moving from here? What is the game plan? What needs to be done? Especially to make sure that when it's coming to national developmental priorities, we have achieved what, you know, we want to achieve, particularly in terms of addressing poverty, inequality, issues of housing, gender-based violence, which is also linked in some areas to economics. Yeah, because I always put the argument out there to say poverty and violence, they are cousins. Poverty, violence, you know, gender-based violence, criminal activities, those are cousins. They thrive and they live together. And that's why when people speak about mental health, you should not remove the economic part of it. And I always have a different argument, especially to my friends who promote feminism ideas, and you find them arguing to say, no, men are toxic, they do this, toxic masculinity and all this. Yes, I understand that part. But you are removing the economic part of to say, what is the economic part of this violence? Was that love before it became sour, it became violence? Was it economic backed? Was economic dependency playing a part? And what is the contribution of a victim to the problem? And that is the only way. Because if you are telling people to say, no, we only need to deal with, there's something wrong with young men, young boys, that conversation is very narrow. Let us broaden the conversation to say, where, how did we get here? Could it be that the conversation is caused by somebody who does not have enough skills to deliver on the deliverable so that the economy can be better, people can thrive? Could it be that case? Because if you are operating from that zone, you are operating at a narrow point. Say, no, men are monsters and all these things. Yes, it could be. But we need to expand the conversation where you involve all the factors. So let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
Sorry. I think it's just a minute or 40 seconds can be enough. So I know that you did mention this morning.
Yeah.
You made some references. I don't know whether it was you or Tate Kwedi.
Yeah.
But that was during your discussion
mm-hmm.
about when you, about the South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also what is going on now.
Mm.
But I think this one is not because of the knowledge or skills or whatever experience.
Mm.
I think this one is actually maybe experience, yeah. And I know that those people, they have the knowledge and how they really are able to capture.
I'm not getting your point. What I...
Well, because maybe because you have not... what I'm saying is that I heard this morning
mm-hmm.
that yes, the references which we know, we are also following.
Yeah.
To the South African Langa Commission. Commission of Inquiry. And I know that when it comes to how to understand some of these legal principles, how to, you know, these issues are done, for example, just in relation to our own situation, you know, good governance, you know, this we are talking about now, to have a criminal justice system that is not corrupt, you know, captured in that way. But now, and I understand that those ones were well educated. They were even saying that they even enter privately, not with the government, privately, not with the sovereign state, with some of these companies in Germany, or I think, I don't know whether it's the German government or some
agencies in Germany who were donating and things like that. So now, if seriously, we need to make sure that our criminal laws and all this governance that we're talking about are really known by our leaders and managers. Because most of the time, it's managers who corrupt the system, not leaders. Because we must also differentiate the roles, the functions, even though they are overlapping between the leadership and management. So thank you very much. So okay. I'm just saying that it's good that let's see how we can help ourselves, our leaders, even our community. Because in your community, because the economy development starts from the bottom.
Thank you, it's 54 minutes past the hour of 7. We have around 6 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, before we give the mic to Mike or the mic to Big Mike to unpack the day. And yeah, it's not only about you know, managers and politicians, and you know, it's about everybody. It's about everybody, because if you want to strengthen the system, if you want to strengthen any system, you must be able to identify the weakness. And when you identify the weakness, that is the only way that we are going to learn. And somebody who is always willing to learn is a very important person, not only for the institution, but is a very important person for the country and for the development of the country. Because when you identify the gap, when you identify the strength, then you can only work on the weakness of people, because it's more complicated than we think, because there's a lot of assessment which need to be done, and there's also a lot of changes which need to be done from individual, and also transformation of systems of governance. Because at the end of the day, the issue of incomplete projects, the issue of services not coming to the people, the issues of the energy sector is not dealt with correctly. The issue of energy security. Most of these things require decisions. Most of these things require people who understand issues. And not necessarily to say articulate, but you understand so that you can make decisions on behalf of the people. But how will you understand if you don't understand what you do not know? Because you must be able to know what you do not know, so that you will be able to be assisted in that sector. Because skill audit matters, because it can also allow a leader to position his or her institution toward the right direction. Because there is always a question to say, and there's actually a statement particularly to the scholars of leadership to say, if you want to identify, if you want to see the intelligence and the character of a leader, look at the people surrounding that person. How picky is he or she? Look at the advisors of this person. Because you don't need to be closer to a leader to understand the leader, but look at the people around that leader. Is that leader has the right team? Is that counselor has the right PA? Is that office has the right people to achieve the deliverables? Because when you understand this thing, it's more easier to look on the deliverables. What systems are in place? So, dear listeners, that is, we are almost at the end of our conversation. Like we are always indicating, make sure that you get the luxury of reading the Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And make sure that you subscribe. Send your name to 081-241-44. And when you do that, you can also save that as your WhatsApp contact number. And the newspaper, the soft copy of the Villager newspaper will be sent to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And yeah, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike, so that he'll be able to unpack the day and continue liking and sharing Eagle FM page, and also make sure that your comment always variable about issues, opinions and views. Either you comment on the economic poster, either you give your contribution, your text message, because at the end of the day, the conversation of development should be elevated. We do not need to agree on everything, but we need to come to the point that every conversation that we bring here is intentional and result-oriented. And in that result-oriented is a prosperous Namibia. We may be coming from different views, but everybody wants a prosperous Namibia. Everybody wants an economic, a sustainable economy, advanced human capital, and a secured future. So, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.